But a bit earlier this week, you may have heard about China's One Belt, One Road policy. It's a very ambitious economic plan that aims to connect China to major trading ports and cities, including around East Africa and Europe even. Now, the belt refers to the land projects, and the road is the maritime road, the ocean routes that will have stops at big ports like Istanbul, Venice, and even Nairobi. 68 countries are currently signed up, including New Zealand, but over in Australia, we're yet to give an official stance on it. Now, Dr. Lai Ha Chan is Senior Social and Political Science Lecturer at UTS. Dr. Chan, a very good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Now, what is the actual major aim that China's hoping to achieve with this project?
As you mentioned about that, this infrastructure project is like mega project across like multiple countries and link up in total. I think the overall design, is try to link up a total of 65 countries in the world together, and which is account for more or less 60% of the world's population. And so the purpose of this mega infrastructure project is basically multiple reasons, including economic and commercial reasons, as well as strategic reasons too. So economically, China aims to become the engine of growth through this initiative. And particularly we see after the global financial crisis, China's economic growth has slowed down a little bit, even though still growing positive, but the percentage of growth is slowing down. So in order to keep the legitimacy of the Communist Party, and that is also the regime survival for the Communist Party, they have to remain an economic growth very fast and to a certain percentage as well. So in addition, China needs to export its production overcapacity in order to arrest its domestic economic slowdown. And that's why we see the One Belt, One Road initiative, all of these projects focus on infrastructure building and mostly use Chinese labor as well. So another also linked with this economic and commercial reason is try to use RMB as eventually want to internationalize RMB and use RMB as one of the exchange currency. And that is the economic side. And strategically is also very important for China. It acted as a policy response to Obama's pivot to Asian policy to offset the U.S. global influence as well. As we remember, back in 2011, Washington launched a rebalancing foreign policy in Asia-Pacific through the notion of pivot to Asia. And the ultimate goal of this strategy is to maintain the domination and supremacy of the American hegemony in the Asia-Pacific region in the face of China's rise. So Obama's pivot to Asia, in the eyes of China, this policy is basically a containment policy or trying to contain China or the rise of China. So One Belt, One Road acts as a response to soft balance the U.S. pivot to Asia and try to craft out a regional security space in Eurasian region, or in order to mitigate the threat coming from the east, because the east of China means the Asia-Pacific. And that's why back in 2012, we can hear in inside China, the so-called marching west strategy. Marching west means like develop the west of China and link with Central Asia, South Asia together, and against the pivot to Asia. And so that's the rationale for China to initiate the One Belt, One Road from the beginning. And now, as we can see, Xi Jinping's policy is more assertive, and Xi is also wanting to use this infrastructure program to further push China's global rise, or the role of China as a global power, and which also consistent with Xi Jinping's idea about the Chinese dream or the great national regeneration.
So why is Australia showing some reluctance when, say, New Zealand has been happy to sign on board?
I think Australia is actually in a dilemma in its relationship between China and the U.S. So why there is no doubt that we agree that China has been the primary source of Australian economic growth, because China is the biggest trading partner for Australia since 2008. And Canberra has, but on the other hand, Canberra has relied on the U.S. as a regional security provider since Second World War, or after the Second World War. So as a liberal democracy, Australia is ideologically still closer to U.S. than China. And that's why we can see Australia was one of the key actors of Obama's pivot to Asia. And Australia agreed to deploy 2,500 U.S. Marines to Darwin in 2011 and also grant the U.S. access to its naval communications station in Western Australia. So why Australia does not want to be left out of the opportunity arising from One Belt One Road, but at the same time, it perceives that a non-democratic China as a potential threat to its national security, which is aligned with the U.S. policy or political values as well. So for many policymakers in Canberra, China is still a communist regime, and that's why we can see that early this year when Li Keqiang, the premier of China, when he visited Australia, China proposed to ally and link Australia's 5 billion Northern Australian infrastructure facility to China's One Belt One Road initiative, but Australia declined of this proposal. And so I think Australia still wants to have a close economic tie with China, but at the same time, we also want to preserve a strong economic or a strong political and military relation with the U.S. And I think Australia still try to avoid taking any side of this or try to pick either of them.
Interesting insights there, Dr. Chan. We will have to leave it, unfortunately, but thank you so much for your time this morning.